This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chiefs Panthers, are the Chiefs still the best team in the NFL?
No, no, we can't say that anymore about them because of what the Lions are doing.
Yep.
That would be disrespectful to Detroit. I know Detroit blew it in the NFC Championship game last year.
But we can't talk about last year. We talk about right now.
Well, the problem with that, though, is so I agree with you. I want to do that. But then you bring up, like, would you pick Kansas City over the Ravens in the playoffs or the Bills in the playoffs? And the answer will be yes, because of Mahomes. But it's not based on what Mahomes has done this year. It's based on what Mahomes has done in past years. It's just hard for people. The reason why it's so hard is because they did flip a switch last year offensively. They got to the playoffs and they became a different offensive team than they were in the regular season. They were the 15th scoring offense in the regular season. They got it done in the playoffs. So it's human nature to think that they can do it again. But I had somebody say, I heard someone say on the air this week that they think Carolina can beat them on Sunday.
Hell no.
But hey, dude, they've done a high wire act the whole year where all these close games and they're barely pulling it out. And when you do that, I think you invite the criticism. And also there's an expectation that the more of those games you play, eventually you're going to start to lose a few of them.
Yeah.
So, America's watched them play every week and you never want to doubt Mahomes, but they don't look as good as their record, Pat.
No, they don't. They don't. Just offense never seemed to really be clicking thus far throughout the season. I know they've been having issues with, you know, with the running back and receivers and injuries left and right. Travis is not having his best year, and the defense has kind of been keeping them afloat. So with them, what are they, 8-1 now or 9-1?
9-1.
Yeah, with them being 9-1, yeah, they are winning those ball games, but they've been ugly wins. But at the same time, it's not a resemblance of, you know, what their team looks like, if that makes sense.
I'm going to ask you a very kind of outlandish maybe question. Do you think that it's possible even now that they're holding back stuff for the playoffs?
That's a good question. I won't necessarily say holding back. I'm sure there are some plays that they don't want to show just yet.
That's what I mean. Like, we don't want to put the tape out there.
Yeah. I think there's some plays that they're holding back. Every team got plays that they, especially if you know you're going to be in the playoffs, know you're going to have make a significant run, you know, especially towards the end of the year. Yeah. You have plays that you have in the back of your, playbook and waiting on the right time to call them. But I don't think they're holding back, though, because if you look at it, for these games that they got to have, yeah, they know they're going to win. But at the same time, a lot of these games, it's got like gotta have it plays. You know what I mean? So yeah. It's like Patrick Mahomes have to do something crazy, drive the ball down to get in field goal range.
But you just said something that's what sparked it in my head. There are these plays that are improvisational that aren't drawn up. He has to make it happen once the ball is snapped. They weren't schemed or designed. The scheme or the design didn't make the play work. The athletic gifts of Patrick Mahomes.
But that's been his play for the most part. He's basically a Russell Wilson 2.0. Because that's what Russell was doing when he was in Seattle. Like, none of his plays was on strip. It was all backyard football. And Patrick is doing pretty much the same thing for the most part. Like, I'll probably put a number. 60% of his dropback passes. I'll probably go 70. I'll go 60. 60% of his dropback passes are him moving around, moving the pocket. He's not stationary in the pocket throwing the ball. Only time he really throws the ball on time if it's a quick game throw.
But that would make me think less of like the Andy Reid idea that he is this like incredible play designer.
Nah, you can't do that. Because here's why I say that. Because in those crunch time moments, like the two-point plays, when you get in the red zone, mm-hmm. that's where you have to really be creative. Because like I told you a couple weeks ago, those are the hardest places to convert in the red zone and third downs. So then that's when you're able to see the creativity, Travis Kelce in the backfield. You got the shovel pass motioning left from right. You got the yo-yo motion. You got one receiver, Worthy, acting like starting at the X receiver, acting like he's motioning across to the other side behind the line of scrimmage. But next thing you know, he got the DB's eyes lost, but he's coming right back where he started. So it's things like that. Andy Reid, he's a damn good play caller. Just Patrick Mahomes is an even better ad-libber.
Well, you just actually just jogged my memory again, because one of the reasons why the Steelers lost to the Browns was because of the ridiculous two-point conversion play they had at the end of the game, where they just threw a fade to Cordarrelle Patterson. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cordarrelle might end up in Canton with you one day, but my man's body type ain't what it used to be. I don't know if you've seen him lately.
I have. I watched the game.
I don't think we want to throw jump balls to him anymore, yeah. Pat. Yeah. So
hand it off to him.
I'd rather do that, actually. Commanders, Cowboys, mm-hmm. Micah Parsons this week on his podcast. We're a damn good football team. Mm. What drugs is he on and where can I get them?
The names are good. I think that's what he was talking about. You got, you know, CeeDee Lamb himself, Diggs, Zeke, Dak. Yeah, the names are damn good names, but the team is not a good football team. I'm sorry to say. they're just not well equipped to win ball games. And if you can't stop the run or run the football, you're going to have the record that you have. It's just point blank period.
So I've met Micah before. He's an incredibly gregarious, loquacious person. He's a great talker. He's like a Charles Barkley type. I mean, he really is mm-hmm. good at that. When he says we're a damn good football team, I think I know exactly what he's doing. I think that's another shot at their coaches, because he's saying the players are good. Well, then why aren't you winning? You know, he made the comment the other week about how, you know, Mike McCarthy, he doesn't care about him so much. Like, he's thinking about Zach Martin and other guys on that team. He, you know, it's not about the amount of work that Mike McCarthy's putting in, basically. Like, he's made a pretty defiant comment about his coach. And he's always been a Dan Quinn guy, and now Dan Quinn's coaching the team that they're going to see on Sunday. I don't think he's a huge fan of Mike Zimmer, would be my guess, when he says something like this. So, you know, players have more power, the good ones, the great ones, than ever before. I think the smart ones recognize that. Mm. And especially playing for the Cowboys, he knows. if he makes backhanded comments like this about his coach, what are the repercussions, Pat? There are none. Mm-hmm. He's going to get a huge contract that pays him more than $30 million a year by the Cowboys or maybe someone else. And Mike McCarthy's going to be doing a podcast like you and me next year. You know, I mean, and he knows that. He's smart enough to know that, so he can get away with comments like this. And yeah. His owner's also not going to call him out for it, because then he would be a hypocrite because he does the same things.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, yeah, they're not.
And by the way, someone else confirmed to me that your comment about how people go through there during the week, like they do little tour guide situations. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. These are the guys, you know, they're prepping right now. This is the special teams room. They're going through their trick plays for the next game. That actually happens.
Really?
That actually happens, where they lead fans around the facilities, which is just a joke.
Yeah. Did you see what Michael Irvin had to say about that?
I saw Michael Irvin said they're going to bring Deion and Shador there.
No, it was something, you know, when it first came out that, you know, they had like sponsors and all those people walking around the facility.
Yeah.
And he was saying, the players should just shut up, man. He said, stop whining. Stop whining, man, and go out and play football. First of all, Mike, that's not normal. It's just not normal. Like, I know that's America's team, but at the end of the day, we still got a job to do. We still have to be laser focused on the Philadelphia Eagles or whoever we're about to play. Like, how the hell can we focus when we got a crowd of people walking past the bill? I'm sure they got glass building, glass windows. So
if somebody came into this studio and sat right next to me and stared at me while I was doing this with you, it would be incredibly awkward and I would not do as good of a job. I can promise you that.
That is a distraction.
Mike also said that he had heard that Jake Paul had an agreement with Mike Tyson that there could be no uppercuts in that match, and that was part of the contract that went into that fight on Friday. So Irvin's just throwing shit out there, and that's the appeal of Mike. He's always been that way. That's why he's pretty good at this. By the way, that fight was a waste of time.
It was.
I've seen better fights on the field during games. Yeah.
I have to. And I can't say that, but yeah, I have to. Viking Bears, how much does Chicago regret not having a Sam Darnold?
So this was one of the things I said, and I'm excited to hear your take on it. I thought the Bears, so this is actually a question that just, I'm trying to make myself look smarter by posing it to you, because I feel vindicated here.
Okay.
I thought the Bears were very ignorant and naive to not bring in another quarterback on their roster who could be like a mentor type to Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. So Sam Darnold, when he was signed by the Vikings, it was for two reasons. He was either going to start, or if J.J. McCarthy beat him out for the job, he was going to be there to help a young guy go through the rigors of an NFL season. Sam was a top three pick. He knows what it's like, the pressure. He was in New York, everything else. So even if he's not giving him even on-field advice, just professional advice, I think very helpful for guys who are starting their careers. I mean, I've heard Ben Roethlisberger say a million times how important he thought Charlie Batch and Tommy Maddox and guys like that were for him when he was playing very early in his career, winning Super Bowls when he was in his early 20s. And instead, Chicago just went with Tyson Bagent as the backup, a guy that was an undrafted rookie from a year ago, whose dad, by the way, is the guy that came out and leaked the story that there were Bears players who were clamoring for Bagent to replace Caleb Williams. So that's the dynamic there in that quarterback's room between those two guys. Exactly. So they should, I honestly, and hey, Caleb might be fine. He's coming off his best game, even though they lost to Green Bay. But I just feel like that veteran presence would have gone a long way, especially given all the upheaval and chaos there, Pat, with coaches getting fired whatnot.
Yeah. I think having a veteran presence with a young quarterback is huge, just because they haven't been in this position before. So you want to have somebody that's been in their shoes that's been up under the gun, understanding how to prepare or things to look for when studying film or when while going through the game plan, how to implement things that you like to run throughout the course of that game. And I think that's always huge for young guys to have someone that have had success or that have experience in that to help that transition much easier and smoother for them. It's funny that we're talking about quarterbacks. I was just on a podcast with Johnny Manziel, and I asked him that question. I said, "Do you think it's important to have an offensive coordinator married to the quarterback?" And meaning, do you think it's good to have a coordinator that runs what the quarterback likes to run, or you have a coordinator that's going to run what he wants to run and pretty much try to reinvent the wheel with a quarterback doing something that he's never done before? And we was talking about Jaden Daniels, and he was pretty much saying what I was saying to you is, yep, that's why he's having so much success, because him and Cliff Kingsbury, the marriage, the play calling ability and the play style is perfect for him, because it's pretty much doing the same things that he did in college football. And you flip that over to Caleb, now he don't have a veteran quarterback in there. Now you don't have an office coordinator that's going to pretty much run the things that he's comfortable running. Now if you had a veteran quarterback in there, maybe that could have been something that he put in his ear, like, "Yo, Caleb, man, yeah, I see you struggling with the concepts, with the progressions of the reads. Why won't you have a conversation with whatever the offensive coordinator name was and tell them the things that you like to do?"
Right.
And now we can start implementing. Now they can start implementing that into the game plan. And now you can just start getting comfortable bit by bit as a season continues to progress.
Well, I give you credit also for the Johnny Manziel name drop. I hope Manziel's doing good these days, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is he?
Yeah, he is. He is. He's doing great, man.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Broncos and Raiders. I think it's my turn here. Bo Nix, speaking of rookies, still a big underdog for Rookie of the Year. What does he need to do to win the award?
Beat the Chiefs. Beat the Chiefs and beat the Chargers. I believe if he can beat them and continue to go on a pace, be on a steady pace that he's on, because Bo has definitely been getting steadily better over the last 3 weeks. And Sean Payton, it seems like they have found a game plan that's good for him by moving the pocket, you know, throwing some naked boots in there, rollouts, giving him some easy reads. And as the game go on, you can just continue to see his confidence continue to build throughout the game. So I believe if he get those two wins under his belt, I think he can have an opportunity to walk on with it, to be honest with you.
I think the Chiefs point is a great one, because those games are on everybody's radar. If he were to sweep Kansas, they didn't beat him the first time. They lost on that blocked field goal. Mm-hmm. But if they were to split and he wins the second game, and let's say that gets Denver into the playoffs, you know, that ends up being the difference between them missing it and making it. Mm-hmm. That would be a great, like, you know, last impression, final impression to give him the boost over Jaden Daniels to win it. So right now, Daniels has 10 touchdowns to 3 interceptions, and Knicks has 14 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. So he's got 4 more touchdowns, but he has 3 more interceptions. I think, man, I think as long as they make the playoffs, I think he'll get it. But I think that's a huge if. I mean, that to me, like, if both Denver and Washington make the playoffs as wild cards, I think Knicks will get it because he'll end up with more touchdowns and better stats.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Denver's going to end up making the playoffs, Pat.
Right. I don't think so either. And it's also going to come down to how Jaden finished off the season.
Well, he's got it. The last two games have been, he's got a show against the Cowboys that the last two were just hiccups against Steelers, great defense, and Eagles, red hot defense.
Yeah.
Because Dallas's defense, sorry, Micah, but y'all have packed it in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And they're back at home and they've had a week and a half to get ready for this game. So Jaden's got to go back out there. I'll tell you what, Knicks is a big underdog. Mm-hmm. If Washington has a bad game and loses and Denver beats the Raiders, on Monday, Knicks will be the favorite for the award. That's all it takes.
Yeah, they should beat the Raiders, by the way, too. Yeah, they should beat the Raiders.
Well, I think Georgia might be able to beat the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right now. Yeah. They're on
LSU
hard
time. LSU can beat the Raiders right now. We losing too.
Yeah, Brian Kelly, the table a little bit more, Brian, and say that the quarterback's uncoachable. How about that comment on the sideline? They got picked up.
Oh my God!
Did you see that?
I did not see that, but I heard about it. Yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, that's another story.